Okay, we're holding on Samach Amud Beis, about sort of the way down the Amud, by the two dots, Shabbos Zu.
Samach Amud Beis,
yes. The Mishnah had said that if somebody says a neder Shabbos Zu, that he makes a neder for this Shabbos, for this week, also b'chol Shabbos Kula, then he said he's also that whole week including Shabbos. Whatever the kind of neder is. I mean, the Mishnah started with koinam yayin. He made a neder not to drink wine. But it'd be the same thing regardless what kind of neder it is. Here we're focusing more on the time frame of the neder. So we said on the Mishnah there's two different explanations of what exactly the circumstance is. One is that he just made the neder sometime in the middle of the week. And the point is that it was saying that the time frame of the neder goes until the end of Shabbos. It includes Shabbos as well. Don't think that Shabbos is counted as part of the next week, or it's not counted at all as part of that week, whatever the Gemara is going to talk about. The other possibility we said is we're talking about that he's on Shabbos itself. He makes this neder, and we're saying it's in effect not only for the rest of that Shabbos, but for the entire next week as well as the following Shabbos. So if he makes the neder on Shabbos and in the middle of Shabbos Parshas Devarim, he would be also until the end of Parshas of Shabbos Vaschan.
So it always includes the next Shabbos.
That would be the idea.
What
yeah.
did he say? I'm not drinking
the
one Shabbos.
Yeah, well, a koinam actually Shabbos do. He said this week.
Okay.
But okay, it wouldn't really be. He said
so
I'm.
This Shabbos doesn't mean.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Well, this Shabbos, right. So the word Shabbos, that's the thing. Tosfos points out that the word Shabbos here kind of has a dual meaning. It means the week, like Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. It also means Shabbos as in the seventh day of the week. Yeah. The actual neder wouldn't be that he said, I'm not going to drink wine because that's a shavua. That's not a neder. The actual neder would have been that wine is also to me to drink. Whatever. That's the yeah. We've gone through all the details of that earlier in the Masechta. Here, let's see.
It was very pleasant.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Isn't it obvious that Shabbos is included in the neder?
Samach
Amud Beis, yeah.
Okay, I get it. Okay.
The Pshita, isn't it obvious that if you say that this neder is in effect for this week, obviously it includes Shabbos? The answer is Ma'od Shabbos Akamar. No, because you might have thought maybe he just means that this neder should be in effect for the day for the weekday. You know, in English also, when you say this week, Yom HaShabbat would mean the weekday. The weekday is going towards the coming Shabbos, right? Yeah. It, like in English, you know, you can say something's going to happen this week. It can mean, you know, it can mean this week as in the weekdays plus Shabbos, or it can mean this week as in only, you think of the weekdays as a unit of their own and Shabbos as a unit of its own. You know, hence the old joke, what's the strongest day? Shabbos is all the rest of weekdays. But you might have thought that maybe his neder means only Yom HaShabbos. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush that no, it does include Shabbos as well. That's why when our Mishnah said that he made the neder that includes Shabbos as well. Shabbos l'shaver, that's what it means. That's what it means. The Pashtus is based on Lashon Bnei Adam.
Well,
right. So it can mean the week. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That Tosfos points out that the word Shabbos itself kind of has a dual meaning. It means the week, like Hayom Yom Rishon to Shabbos, and it also means Shabbos as in Shabbos Kodesh. So therefore, because of that, it ends up meaning the week plus including Shabbos as well. Then we said chodesh zeh also b'chol chodesh v'rosh chodesh labo. We said if he makes a neder for this month, then it means that he's also for the rest of that month. But rosh chodesh already belongs to the next cycle of time, and therefore he's not also in it. And again, the question is pshita. I mean, obviously rosh chodesh is the first of the next month. Why would you think that the neder should be if he makes the neder in the middle of Tevis? Why would you think it should be in effect on rosh chodesh shvat? Aleph shvat is already rosh chodesh is already aleph shvat. It belongs to the next month. The answer is ki tzricha l'chodesh chaser. Yes, but we need this chiddush in a case where we're talking about a chodesh chaser. Now, what does that mean? The Ran says we're talking about where the month where he made neder itself is a chodesh molay. The following month is a chodesh chaser, and the reason it's not really then we're not really talking so much about the following month. It doesn't really matter for this purpose whether the next month is chaser or not. It's just usually they go in that order, molay chaser throughout most of the year. So that if this month is molay, usually the next month is chaser. What's the point? When a chodesh is molay, the 2 days are chodesh. The first day of chodesh is you have the first day of chodesh and you have the second. Now we think of it as the first day of chodesh belongs to the previous month. You have, for example, lamed shvat and aleph adar, lamed nissan and aleph iyar, etc. So ma'od tamer shchodesh l'sha'avah. So based on that, you would think then that the first day of shchodesh should belong to the previous month. Therefore, for example, yeah, he makes the neder in Shvat, for example, Lamed Shvat, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, should be included in the orbit of the neder. Kamashmalon Kori Inshi Resh Yacha. No, Kamashmalon is people call it Rosh Chodesh. The people, even though the actual date is Lamed Shvat, because it is a Chodesh Malay, people call it Rosh Chodesh Adar. Therefore, again, going by Lashon B'nei Adam, it's not considered to be part of Shvat anymore. Now, that should mean it's considered already part of Adar. Now, logically, then the Ran goes on to say, logically, that should mean then that you should actually be counting when you're writing a shtar, for example. By that logic, if you write a shtar on Lamed Shvat, you should really, instead of writing Lamed Shvat, since the Gemara is establishing over here that doesn't really belong to Shvat, you should really write the first day of Adar. And the second day of Rosh Chodesh, you should really write the second day of Adar, and so forth. So everything would be one day ahead of how we usually write it. However, then he says that the Rashba quotes Tosfos to say that no, the better way to do it then is to write, for example, the 30th of, he gives the example Tishrei, write the 30th of Tishrei, which is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and so forth by all the other months. And in fact, Tosfos brings that Rabbeinu Tam did that in his daughter's ksuba. His daughter evidently got married on the 30th day of some Chodesh Malay, and he wrote the 30th of such and such a month, which is the first day of Rosh Chodesh of the following month. And that's how we do it Ada Yemezer when a ksuba or Chas V'Shalom a get is written on Lamed, and that's how we do it. A couple of other interesting possibilities, what the Gemara is trying to say over here, because after all, I mean, the way the Ran is saying it, that we're talking, when the Gemara says Chodesh Chaser, it really means that the next month is Chaser, but this month is Malay. That's a strange way of saying it. Why doesn't the Gemara just say straight out, Ki Yisrael, Chodesh Malay? A couple of interesting answers about that. One is that Rashash says you could also be talking about a case, what if the person, when he made his neder, didn't know whether it's going to be a Chodesh Malay yet or not? So when he made the neder, he thought it might be a 29-day month. He thought it might be Chodesh Chaser. Now it turns out it's a Chodesh Malay. Maybe you should include the 30th day in his neder as well. No, we're saying that not. We are willing to go according to the original way that he thought. And then the Ur Sameach brings even more interesting possibility.
Really? So even if he thought it was a one-day or Chodesh, and it becomes a two-day,
the first day still is not chayiv in the neder anymore, because that's what the Gemara is saying over here. The first day already is considered to belong to the next month. The first day of Shvat.
He thought when he made the neder
that this year Shvat is going to be 29 days. Or okay, let's take a present day example. Cheshvan and Kislev vary. So first he makes a neder in Cheshvan. He thought it was a 29-day Cheshvan. Turns out it's a 30-day Cheshvan. Nevertheless, we're saying the neder only runs up till and including the 29th of Cheshvan. It does not include the 30th, even though that year there happens to be a 30th. And then the Ur Sameach brings an even more interesting possibility. He points out when you get down to it, many times the Moilad comes out on the day of Rosh Chodesh itself. On the first day, sometimes even if it's a two-day Rosh Chodesh, it comes out on the second day. So let's take an example, actually, of a Chodesh Chaser, like Tevis. You have the following month, so you only have one day of Rosh Chodesh Shvat. But sometimes it can happen that the Molad actually comes out on the day of Rosh Chodesh itself, which means part of that day, therefore, really belongs to the previous moon cycle, the one of Tevis. The only reason that you can't make Rosh Chodesh beginning in the middle of the day, Yomim at the Mona, V'yat the Mona Shoy, so therefore necessarily a month has to be an integral number of days, 29 or 30, not 29 and a half. But still, given that in that case, the Molad comes out in the middle of the day on Aleph Shvat, you might have thought, if it weren't for the Mishnah telling us, that he should still be Chayev in his Neder until that cycle of the moon is over, meaning sometime in the middle of the day of Rosh Chodesh. No, that's what we're saying. The whole day of Rosh Chodesh belongs to the following month.
Based on
Lashon Ne'adam? No, well, based on Lashon Ne'adam, that's what we're saying. Yeah, Koru and people call it
Rosh Chodesh.
Hold on. There's a difference. The Mishnah said there's a difference whether he says this month or whether he says a month. If he says that this neder is in effect for the next month, then yes, it means 30 days. But if no matter when in the month he is.
Yeah.
But if he says it's in effect for this month, then it means the rest of this calendar month. That's what we're discussing. Then we said Shana Zu also b'chol Hashana Kula. We said if he makes the neder for this year, then he's also the whole year until Rosh Hashanah. So now yesterday the Gemara. So the Mishnah had pointed out actually that there's a difference between with all of these things. There's a difference between whether you say today or this week or whatever versus when you say one day or one week or whatever. Today means, for example, just till the end of today. One day means 24 hours from this time today until the same time tomorrow, and so forth with all the other ones. So now, I'm a koinam yayin shani toyim yoyim. What if he said a koinam that I will not taste wine a day? So he didn't say today. He didn't say today, but he didn't say one day either. He just said a day.
He didn't say
yoyim. He said yoyim. So what would be the deal?
All the days.
Well, what is it? Do we consider that the equivalent of saying kayoim? So then it expires when it expires at nightfall, or the day, whatever day it is that he made the neder. Now, one thing is it is true that if he says yoim, we can't just say that it means any old day he wants, that he could decide to do it next week. It is a given that it's going to have to start right away. We learned a similar concept much earlier in the Masechta, where a person says that I'm going to be a Nazir for 30 days, and it takes effect right away. He can't argue, I meant for it to start next week. So here it's a similar thing. But by saying yoim, does he mean just till the end of today? Or does he mean 24 hours? Does he mean the equivalent of hayoim, or does he mean the equivalent of yoim echad? So kayoim or kiyem echad. Toshma, I'm imasnitzin. Well, come, let's try to prove it from our Mishnah. The Mishnah had started out, the Mishnah said, koinam yayin shani toyim ayoim. Person says, a koinam, that wine is also to me and I will not drink it today. Ain also elad to tashak, it's only also till it gets dark. Hayoim kiyem echad dami. Which implies, now, by specifically saying, when he said hayoim, that implies that if he said yoim, it would mean 24 hours. Otherwise, the Mishnah could have told us the bigger Chiddush, but tell us Yoim means only till nightfall, and how much more so Hayoim means only till nightfall.
What's that? Yoim here.
Remember, we have three possibilities. We have Hayoim, we have Yoim Echad, and we have Yoim. Hayoim we know means till nightfall. Yoim Echad we know means 24 hours. What does Yoim mean? Yoim is somewhere in the middle over there. Now, so far we're trying to prove if Yoim was just like Hayoim, then instead of just mentioning the case of Hayoim, which is very obvious that it only goes till nightfall, the Mishnah should have told us the bigger Chiddush. If he says that Koinam Yayin Yoim, that it's also only until nightfall. The fact the Mishnah didn't do that seems to imply that it's a pack of 24 hours. My answer is back. No. Ema Sefer. No. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. Ama Yoim Echad also Miyoim LeYoim. No. If he says Yoim Echad, then he's also 24 hours. Ha Yoim Kai Yoim Dami. Therefore, again, if you're going to argue that the word Yoim definitely means 24 hours, then again, the Mishnah could have used Yoim there also, and it would be a bigger Chiddush. That even when he says Yoim, it means 24 hours, and how much more so? If he says Yoim Echad, which is more obvious that it means 24. Okay, we can't prove anything from this Mishnah. Obviously, one or the other statement in this Mishnah is not meant to be precise, and we can't really tell what it is.
So what do we conclude?
Well, we haven't got a conclusion yet. Wait, Omer Rashi Toshma. Come, let's try to bring another proof. Person says, Koinam Yayin, this is from a Braita, Koinam Yayin Shani Toyim Hashana. If somebody says, Koinam, that wine will be also for me to drink this year, Nitzabra Hashana. So now what happens if that year ends up being an Ibru year, also Bo Ivi Bora. He's also not only in the regular year, not only the regular 12 months, but also in the Ibru month. He's also for 13 months. Which the Ram points out like this. It means like this. If he had made the neder sometime in the middle of the year, then obviously there's no question that it goes until the end of the year. That's what the Mishnah said. It goes until the end of the year. The chiddush of the Braitha is, what if he made the neder on Rosh Hashanah itself? Maybe you should think whether he knew at the time it was going to be an Ibru year or not. Really doesn't matter. A normal year runs for 12 months. That should be the maximum amount of time when a person makes a neder for Hashanah. That should be the maximum time it's in effect. Therefore, we should say it only runs to Rosh Chodesh Elul, rather till the end of Av, whatever. But nevertheless, we say no. It'll be also the entire 13 months. Now, Hechidami, now what are we talking about? Ilema Kedekatani, if you just take the Braisa at face value, Lomali the Memra, then what do you need to tell us? I mean, after all, once you think about it, it is obvious that a shana means a whole calendar year. So yes, if that calendar year happens to be 13 months, then fine, so be it. El alav de a shana. L'chora, the braisa has to be talking about a case where he just said a year. So again, he didn't say Hashana. He didn't say Shana Achas, which would definitely mean one whole year from day to day. Actually, that's not so simple. There are Mephoshim who say that if he said Shana Achas, then it would mean 12 months.
It possibly would mean.
Well, the Shach talks about it in Yodea. But over here, we were talking about where he says Shana. So, Alma Shana Ka Shana Dami. Therefore, we see that saying Shana is the equivalent of saying Hashana, this year. The Yom Nami Ka Yom Dine. And therefore, by the same logic, saying Yom would be just like saying Hayom, so it would go to Michael. Just like the Braisa is saying also Boro Vibura, and again, Ran explains that we're talking about when you made the Neder on Rosh Hashanah. So it means the Neder goes until the following Rosh Hashanah and includes the Ibuyar, but we don't say if he made the Neder Rosh Hashanah afternoon, we don't say that it goes till the morning or the afternoon, whatever, of Rosh Hashanah of the following year. It ends at Chof Tzelo. Same thing, Yom should be just like Hayom. It ends at nightfall. Right, okay, well, not before Adar necessarily, no, because that's what he's saying. If the person were to make the neder, let's say, in Shvat, there's no question that saying Hashana would mean including the Ibra, wouldn't including the Ibra month, because even then you have much less than 12 months. The Chiddush is, if he says, okay, it doesn't have to be on Rosh Hashanah, fine, it could be preposterous any time during Tishrei. The point is, from then till Chav Tezel is more than the usual 12 months that a year consists. The answer is lo. The Gemara says not necessarily. Lo olam ga'amah hashana. No, maybe after all we are talking about a case where he said hashana. The Braisa is not talking about the case where he just said shana, but rather where he said hashana. And the chiddush is, umar detema holachacha roiv hashanim. You might have thought to say that you follow the majority of the years. Most years are not an Hebrew year. V'lo yisbu Hebrew, and most years do not contain an Hebrew month. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush, that note, when he says Hashanah, we look at this actual year. We don't look at an average year, we look at this particular year. So if this year is an Hebrew year, then yes. So that would be the chiddush, but you can't prove that the Braita is also telling us the additional chiddush about Shana versus Hashanah. Okay, so the Gemara leaves it unresolved, and therefore, as usual, when we have an unresolved case in the Nedarim, you go to Chumrah, you're to be on the safe side. If you say Yoim, you'd be also for an entire 24 hours. If you say Shana, you'd be also for an entire year, etc. But you wouldn't get Malkus for the time after nightfall or after Erev Rosh Hashanah or whatever because of the Suffolk. Iboyelu. Now the Chachamim had another question. Omer Yayin Shani Toim Yovel. What if somebody said that a koinam that wine is also to me for yovel? Now, the Ran points out he didn't literally say a yovel, because then you'd have the same question. What does a yovel mean? Does it mean 50? What does a yovel mean? You'd have the same question as we just left unresolved. Does it mean 50 years, or does it mean till the end of the current yovel cycle? No, but okay, we're talking about where he said this yovel cycle. So we know it only goes until the end of the cycle. But Shnaf Chamishim doesn't include the Yovel year itself. Shnaf Chamishim Chamishim Kalacha Chamishim. Is the 50th year, is Yovel year itself, considered to be like the years before it or like the years after it? So a person makes a neder.
Included or excluded?
Right. So the person makes a neder in the middle of the Yovel cycle. So in the 2050 year, to give Tosis as an example, so it says until the end of this Yovel cycle, Yovel death, does it mean until the end of the 49th year, or does it mean until the end of the 50th year? Okay. Tashma, so come, let's prove. D'tanya, as we actually learn in a Braisa, Plugta, Rabbi Yehuda, V'Rabbanan. We have a Machloikas, Rabbi Yehuda, and V'Rabbanan, about the question, how do we count Yovelus and Shmittis? The pasuk says, "V'kidashtem es shnasa chamishim shana." You make the 50th year holy as yovel, which implies shnasa chamishim atamoina. You only count it as the 50th year. V'yatamoina shnasa chamishim va'acha. But you don't count it as the 50th year as well as the first year. V'kan amr yovel ena oil l'minyan shavua. Based on this, the chachamim said the yovel does not count toward the years of shmita. Meaning, you go like this: they came into Eretz Yisrael, they did the 7 years kibush, 7 years chiluf. Now begins the shmita and yovel cycle. Count 6 years, 7th year is Shmita. Another 6 years, the 14th year is Shmita. 21, 28, etc., till you get to 49. 50 is Yovel. Fine, everybody agrees on that. Now, the Chachamim are saying that 50th year is not counted towards the next Shmita cycle. The next Shmita cycle begins in year 51. So the next Shmita is not going to be in the year 56, 7 years after the previous Shmita. It's going to be in the year 57. 64, 71, etc., until the year 99 is going to be the seventh Shemitah of the second cycle. Year 100 will be Yovel. And then year 101 begins the next cycle of Shemitah. So according to the Rabbanan, what you have to do to figure out whether it's a Shemitah, you first have to divide by 50. And then within that, you divide, then within that, you divide by 7. So you're saying the Yovel year does not count as part of the group of 7. Rabbi Yehuda says it does count. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have Shemitah is 49, Yovel is 50, the next Shemitah is 56. After the Yovel, 49, Yovel is 50, and then you only have 5 regular years until the next Shemitah. Because Yovel itself,
49 and 7 is 56.
Yes, exactly.
And 56 is...
So 56 will be the next Shemitah.
Right.
63, et cetera, until you're finally going to have 90. So the 50th was Yovel, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's also the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So when it comes at the end of the century, it comes the year 98, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shemitah. According to Rabbanan, it wasn't going to be till year 99. Then 99, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Yovel. According to Rabbi Chachamim, it was going to be Shemitah. And 99, besides being Yovel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is also the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So now you have, now the next time there's a Shemitah, there's going to be 2 years apart. The Chachamim say the next Shemitah is going to be year 107, 7 years after the Yovel, which was in year 100. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's in year 105. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you always divide by sevens, and that's that. The Rambam, by the way, points out, that Rambam explains the halacha, that we actually take kind of a compromise. When the Beis Mikdash is standing, we hold like the Chachamim, that the Yovel interrupts the Shemitah cycle. So therefore, when the Beis Mikdash is standing. So Yovel would be every 50 years, not every 49 like Rabbi Yehuda is saying. On the other hand, when the Beis Mikdash is not standing, then we go like Rabbi Yehuda. Then we say that Yovel do not interrupt the Shemitah. And that's why nowadays we have Shemitah every 7 years without interruption.
Why is it like that? It's the same every 50 years.
That's the difference. That's the difference. Because since when the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, there's no Yovel anyway. So therefore, it makes it more logical to go according to Rabbi Yehuda's Svara.
But it's every 49?
So it comes out at 49. It's called inclusive counting. If you count, every 50, but it means inclusive counting. If year 50 is Yovel, and then the next time year 99 is Yovel, if you count, 50 is number 1, 51 is number 2, et cetera, 99 comes out to be number 50. So it still works out according to Rabbi Yehuda. Incidentally, by the way, the Yerushalmi has a different shitta. The Yerushalmi has a different understanding of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. The Yerushalmi understands it to be saying Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim that Yovel is every 50 years, but he disagrees with them only on the fact that they say it interrupts the Shemitahs, and he says it doesn't. Namely, according to the Yerushalmi's way of looking at it, you have like this. Year 50. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would come out like this, according to the Rishami. Year 50 is Yovel. Again, it's also the first year of the next Shemitah. When it comes, eventually you're going to have year 98 of Shemitah. 99 is nothing. Not like the Bavli's understanding where, according to Rabbi Yehuda, 99 is Yovel. 98 is Shemitah, because it's dividing by 7. 99 is nothing. 100 is Yovel. But that's the thing. According to the Rishami's understanding, Rabbi Yehuda does say that Yovel is every 50 years. So Yovel is 50, 100, 150, etc. So we have three different ways of understanding the thing. According to the Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, Yovel is the year 50, 100, 150, 200, etc. Shemitahs are every 7 years within that. So Shemitahs are going to be 7, 14, 21, etc., but then 57, 64, 71, etc. So within, basically, it comes out, according to the Chachamim, within each century, the Shemitahs are going to be in the same year. In the year when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, for example, the first Shemitah came out in the year 2510. In the following century, it's going to be 2610, 2710, etc.
The Shemitah is always the 49th year.
No, but that's the thing. According to the Chachamim, the Yovel interrupts that. According to the Chachamim, year 50 does not count towards the Shemitah cycle. That's why. You start over again in 51, and then you go until 57. According to the Bavli's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, he says that two differences from the Chachamim. One, that the Yovel comes out every 49 years, and one that it counts towards the Shemitah cycle. And then the Yerushalmi takes a position in between, that Rabbi Yehuda says the Yovel is every 50th year, but it's not necessarily tied to the Shemitah. The first time around, it'll be the year after Shemitah. The second time, it'll be a year, there'll be a year in between. The next time, there'll be 2 years in between, etc. Only every 350 years are you going to have that you're going to have a Shemitah followed by a year.
The cycles are independent.
The two cycles are independent, according to the Rishabim. Right.
According to
the Bavli, everybody agrees that the two cycles are interdependent, but the question is, does the Yovel interrupt the counting of 7 years or not? Okay. Anyway.
Rabbi Huda,
I mean, Yovel Oyla Minyan Shavua, whereas Rabbi Huda says that the Yovel does count towards the 7 year cycle. So how does that relate back to our Gemara over here? So therefore, if a person says that this neder of mine is in effect until the end of this Yovel cycle, so it comes out, according to the Chachamim, it would include the Yovel year, because the Yovel year is considered part of the previous cycle. According to Rabbi Huda, it already belongs to the next cycle.
According to Chachamim, the Yovel year, meaning the
50th year, belongs to the previous cycle. So you made the neder in the 25th year of Yovel, your neder is going to be in effect until the end of the 50th year. Whereas according to Rabbi Huda, it's only going to be in effect till the end of the 49th year. The 50th year, even though it's Yovel, belongs to the following cycle.
What's the third opinion?
The third opinion, the Rishami, we're not getting into that over here. I just mentioned that to the thief, okay? Amr Loyla Rabbi Huda, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Huda, how can you tell me that you count, that Yovel counts towards the next Shemitah cycle? Doesn't the Pasuk say for 6 years you should plant the field and the seventh year is Shemitah? Well, according to you, once every 50 years, you're only going to have 5 years of regular field work. Namely, after Yovel, what are you going to have? 49 is Yovel. 49 is Shemitah, 50 is Yovel. Now you're only going to have a point to be able to 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, and 56 is Shemitah again. So you only have 5 years in between the end of Yovel and the beginning of Shemitah. Also telling you, you always have to have six. That works better according to us. We have 51, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 57 is Shemitah.
But Yovel goes either way. Either goes towards the ninth,
or either to the previous or to the next. That's what we're saying, yeah. Amalahem, so Rabbi Yehuda answers back about, okay, you're going to tell me the Pasuk always is trying to, for the Pasuk is telling us something that always has to be so. L'divreichem, well then by your logic, the Pasuk describes over there in Parshas Bahar, after the Dinim of Shemitah and Yovel, you might be worried what are we going to eat during Shemitah year. So the Pasuk says, I'll give a bracha in the land, and it'll produce enough for 3 years. Now, 3 years works out in most Shemitah cycles. Most Shemitah cycles, you harvest the grain and whatnot that grew in the sixth year. You harvest it at the end of the sixth year. That provides for you have the remainder of the sixth year, all of the seventh year, as well as enough of the eighth year until the crops actually are ready, because you can't plant in the eighth year till after Tishrei. So by the time
sixth year,
no. What you end up with is it goes into the ninth year because you what okay yeah that's correct okay let me rephrase what I was just saying. The vote is like this: when you harvest grain in Eretz Yisrael, the usual way you do it is you harvest it during the spring, the barley around Pesach time, wheat around Shavuot time, then you leave it out in the field to dry the rest of the summer, and in the fall you gather it into the house and start grinding it and so forth. Now in this case, so the sixth year you're planting your wheat and harvesting it normally, Shavuot time. You're putting it out in the field to dry. It finishes drying and then you gather it in at the beginning of Shemitah. That crop now has to last you for a little after the summer. So it has to last you for 3 years. It has to last you. We're not up to 49, 50, 51. Wait. Don't run ahead of me. It has to last you for the whole Shemitah year, it lasts you for the remainder of the sixth year, it lasts you for the whole seventh year, because you're not planting, it lasts you for the whole eighth year, because even though you plant at the beginning of the eighth year, the crops are not harvested until Shavuot's time of the eighth year, and they're still drying in the field until the beginning of the ninth year, until Sukkot's time of the ninth year. So it's lasting you for 3 years, that crop, and the Pasuk is promising you, the Eivishter is promising that that's going to happen. Now, Now comes what you're saying, Rabbi Pomeran. Right, but we don't mean three whole years. We mean parts of 3 years. Yeah, you have the seventh, the eighth, and part of the ninth, whatever. Yeah. Um, so what happens when Yovel comes in, this is what you were saying, then you have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, well, according to the Chachamim as well, but the, well, so Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out, according to your logic, the truth is according to the Babli's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, it's according to his own logic as well, but fine, the point is that, yeah, you have an exception when it comes to Yovel, it needs to provide for 4 years. Because what are you going to have? Same idea. You're going to harvest in the 48th year, which is the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. You're going to put it out to dry until you're going to bring it in from the fields after it's finished drying, Sukkot time of Shemitah year. Then it has to last for Shemitah and Yovel and the year after Yovel, because that's first when you start to plant again, until the beginning of the second year after Yovel, to the beginning of the 52nd year according to the Chacham. So you still say you have 4 years then.
4 years.
And yet you see the pasuk is mentioning only
46th year.
What 46? Who said anything about 46? 48th year.
48th
year is a normal year. You plant that year. Right. You harvest. You harvest. But what you harvest in the 48th isn't ready to use yet in the 48th. It only becomes ready to use after it dried out. Sukkot time of the 49th. That's why Sukkot is called Chagah Osos.
Right.
So now you have that crop. It's having to last you from Sukkot of the 49th year until Sukkot of the 52nd year. It's 3 whole calendar years, but it's parts of 4 years. 49, 50, 51, 52.
Yes, absolutely.
So you see that there you need 4 years, and yet the Pasuk is only mentioning 3. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying to the Chachamim, you want to tell me because the Pasuk says Sheish Shanim Tizrat Sadecha, that it's an absolute statement. There always has to be 6 years between an Isser of working and an Isser of working, and according to me there's only 5. Nu, according to your own Svara, don't you have sometimes where you need enough crops for 4 years, for parts of 4 calendar years, and yet the Pasuk is only mentioning 3? Ela ikal ukme b'shar shnei shavua. So what do you have to say? That we're talking about that pasuk about the 3 years is talking about most of the time. Generally speaking, there's no yovel after Shemitah, and all you have then is you need parts of 3 years. Dilinami, so the same thing according to my logic, ikalukum of a shar shnei shavua, you could argue that when the pasuk is saying sheish shanim tizra sadecha, it means most of the time. But yes, there would be times when it's taka only 5, according to me. When you have yovel, because again, according to the Yehuda, yovel is the first.
Well, yovel is more.
Yeah, then there's less,
It's only on Yovel.
Only on Yovel, but that's the point. In other words, the whole it's telling us the usual case. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Ada Pesach also. The Mishnah has mentioned that, like this, the person said that a neder is in effect until Pesach, then it means till the beginning of Pesach. If he says, Ad Sheheya Pesach, we said it means till the end of Pesach. Till Pesach is. Pesach is not completely until the whole Yom Tov is over. What if he said, Ad Pnei Pesach, then we had a machlokes, the face of Pesach. Rabbi Meir had said it means till the beginning of Pesach, Rabbi Yossi had said till the end. So, the Memra, it sounds like the Mishnah is telling us, that Rabbi Meir Savor Lema'ayel Inish Nafshel Sveika, that Rabbi Meir holds that a person, when he makes a statement, when he makes a neder, is not going to do something that's going to put him in a state of suffix. When he says Ad Pnei Pesach, he's going to mean the minimum amount of time that Pnei Pesach can mean. He's not going to mean that it may potentially include every moment that still Pnei Pesach is still a part of Pesach yet to come, and he's including that. No, because that would be a suffix. And according to the mayor, it sounds like the Mishnah is saying a person's not going to do that. He's just going to say that it means just going to say Ad Pnei Pesach and mean as far as Pnei Pesach definitely lasts, which is until the beginning of Pesach. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would hold that a person may well put himself in such a suffix. He may make a statement which puts him in a state of suffix. Or a mini, but I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Kiddushin that says the other way around. Somebody has 2 sets of daughters from 2 different wives. So he married first Leah, and he had with her Dina and Yecheved. Then he married Rachel, and he had with her Serach, and he had with her, let's give him names, Serach and Miriam. So the first 2 girls are older than the next 2. But later on he says, Tigashti es biti agdola, I was Mekadosh, my older daughter, the Eniyadea, but I don't know which one it was. In Gdola Shev Gdola, was it the oldest out of all 4? In Gdola Shev Ktanos, or was it the oldest one of the second set? Or maybe it means the younger girl from the first set, which after all, she is older relative to her younger sisters. So then, Kula Nasura is different from Meir, Chutz Minaktana Shabbatanis. So the Meir says all of them will be Osir, Misafik, in other words, all of them are going to need to get Misafik, except for the very youngest one, except for the second one of the second set, because then there's obviously no way that there could be a Suffolk with her. Rabbi Yossi says the other way around. Kulan Matodas, Kulan Agdolas, Shabagdolas. On the contrary, all of them are Mutter except for the oldest one of the oldest set. She's the only one that definitively can be called Zola. The other one's from your question. So therefore, we see the other way around. Rabbi Meir seems to be saying that a person would say something that would put him in a suffix by saying Gdola and then saying, I'm not sure which Gdola it was. He's willing to put himself in a state where three of them are going to need a get in a suffix. And by the way, all of them are going to be also to the person who was the Kaddish them, because each one of them could potentially be a Chayzishta. Each one of them potentially could be his wife's sister.
So the
Astira
with
Rabbi Meir. So it's Astira with Rabbi Meir and Astira with Rabbi Yossi, yeah. Because Rabbi Yossi is the other way around. And on Mishnah, he seems to be saying a person can say, Pnei HaPesach, and potentially mean every moment that could still be considered when there's still some part of Pesach facing us, namely till the end of Pesach. But over there, he says only the oldest daughter. Amar Chanina Barav Dimi, Amar Rav, Mukhlefet HaShita. You know what? You're right, actually. You have to flip around the opinions in on Mishnah. You have to say that it's the other way around in on Mishnah. Rabbi Meir would be the one who'd be saying you're also till the end of Pesach. Rabbi Yossi would be the one who's saying only till the beginning of Pesach. V'ha-tanya, and indeed, thus we learn in a braisa, ze-ha-klal, the general rule, kol shizmane kavua, v'oma-ad lifnei, or ad-pnei, really, it's supposed to be, anything that you have a fixed time for something, like Pesach, always comes at a certain fixed date, and a person says ad-pnei, Rameir Oimachiyate. So Rameir says because of the suffix, it has to mean until the Yom Tov or whatever it is ends. Rabbi Yossi Oimachiyagia, whereas Rabbi Yossi says only until it comes. So we see indeed from that braisa that the opinions are flipped around in our Mishnah. Now, on the other hand, now the Gemara also discusses this in Kiddushin, in connection with that Mishnah over there that we just quoted. And the Gemara ends up giving there a different answer. It's not really a matter. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi are not contradicting themselves. You don't have to flip around any opinion. Our Mishnah you can leave as is. That Mishnah and Kiddushin you can leave as is. The only difference is it's just a difference of Lashon. When a person says Pnei HaPesach, does he mean till the? It can mean one way of looking at it is you can say Pnei means the face of Pesach, therefore the beginning of it. The other way you can look at it is it means Ad Mispnei Pesach until Pesach has been removed. Pnei can also mean Meloshin Mefana, like removing it. Until Pesach is removed, meaning until it's over. So then it wouldn't be a theater between the Mishnah. So now, what does that mean as far as a matter of halacha? So if we look, so
it's both mean both meanings.
So no. So in other words, if you say so, okay. Now one thing is usually when you have a machlokas with Meir and Rabbi Yossi, generally speaking, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Now, if we're going to go with what our Gemara is saying, that you have to flip around the opinions in our Mishnah, so the opinion we thought as Rabbi Meir is really Rabbi Yossi and vice versa, then it would come out the halacha is like the opinion that we're saying in our Mishnah belongs to Rabbi Meir. You should know we really have these for when we're sitting and learning. You know, it's not stam meant.
No, my mistake.
I don't mind a person making a bracha, but you know, it's not. You know. Okay. Better come join us and learn. No. Okay. So according to that way of looking at it, according to what our Gemara is saying over here, it would come out that the halacha would be like what Rabbi Meir is saying in our Mishnah, which the Gemara is explaining is really Rabbi Yossi saying, that they only also till the beginning of Pesach. And that indeed is how the Rana holds, and that's how the Rambam holds. On the other hand, we have that Gemara in Kiddushin, so what do we do with that? So the Rana says, no problem, here we're talking mainly in the Dinim of Nedarim, there the Gemara is just mentioning it as an incidental thing relative to the Dinim of Kiddushin, therefore, more logically, we should go according to our Gemara. And establish the halacha according to that. On the other hand, the Ramban holds not. Ramban holds that, yes, over here we're trying to say that the opinions are flipped around, but given that there the Gemara continues the discussion and says that, no, you don't have to flip it around, you can find a way to answer, then more logically we should say that our Mishnah, the way we have it, is correct, according to the Maskana over there, and therefore the halacha, the Maskana in Kiddushin, therefore the halacha should be like Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah that you're also till the end of Pesach. So the Ramban argues with the Ramban on that. Both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that technically you're only author till the beginning of Pesach, but yes, I mean that you're author until the end. Yeah.
So the fact, what the Hamim or Ramban?
So that's the thing, is that the Shulchan Aruch brings both. The Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. So better you should go according to the Ramban, but according to be on the safe side. But yeah.
Inclusive.
Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing. Ad ha-kotzer, ad ha-botzer, ad ha-mothik. What if somebody, instead of saying something that has a fixed time, what if somebody says something that has a sort of variable time? He says that this neder is in effect until the harvest. or Adam Tatsir, until the wine, and until the grape harvest, or Adam Musik, until the olive harvest. Each kind of harvest in Hebrew has a different name, by the way. We're going to discuss that a little bit in the Gemara as well. Yeah. Then, and also El Ad Shiagia. Then he's definitely only usher until the beginning of it. Because it's one thing when a person, for example, says with Pesach, he says Ad Pnei Pesach, and we have Machlokes, whether it means the beginning or the end. But here, since you don't know how long the harvest is going to last, you don't know what day it's going to start and how long it's going to last, therefore, you can't expect that the person is going to mean that the neder should be in effect until the thing is over. Necessarily, he must have meant until it begins. Zeaklal, the general rule is, kol shezmane kavua, anything that has a fixed time, like Pesach, va'oma ad shiagia, and he says that the neder is in effect until it comes, also ad shiagia, then he's also until it arrives. Oma ad shiagia, and if he says until it is, like we said in the first mission of the parak, also ad shiagia, then he's also until it ends, v'chol she'ein zmane kavua, but anything that does not have a fixed time, like the harvest, bein oma ad shiagia, bein oma ad shiagia, whether he says, whichever lashon he uses, ad shiagia or ad shiagia, and also al ad shiagia, then he's only also until it actually begins, because again, you can't expect the person will not have expected to that the neder should be in effect until some indefinite time that he doesn't know when it's going to begin. Now that is one way of explaining it. The Rosh then brings a different explanation from Rabbi Eliezer of Metz, one of the Balei HaTosfos, who says differently, that no, actually he says the examples that our Mishnah is giving, Ada Kotzer, Ada Basir, Ada Masik, are actually considered Zmane Kavua. They are similar to Pesach in that regard. Yes, they don't necessarily begin on a specific calendar day, but they begin at pretty much around the same time. There's a certain time of the season when those things begin.
Definitely.
Well, Bashas, we're talking about, well, in each place, according to its own thing. I mean, any place in the world, the harvest usually begins more or less on a specific date. No, what are we? When the Mishnah says v'chol she'ein zmane kavua, it's talking about something that's not mentioned in the Mishnah. For example, let's say a person were to say this neder is in effect until so and so goes to California. That's called ein zmane kavua, according to Rabbi Elazar and Metz, because there's no fixed time for that. He could go any time. So that would be what we mean. That would mean whether. So then it would be whether he says until he whether he says ad shiagia or whether he says ad shiahei. So whether he says until he goes to California or until he is in California, it would mean when he gets. It would mean when he leaves to get there. We would say that it means for the whole duration of the trip, because according to Rabbi Elazar of Metz. Then, by the way, the Ran brings from the Yerushalmi, what about a third possibility? So we have Pesach, for example, which we know it begins on a specific date, and it runs always for a specific number of days, it's always 7 days. We have the harvest, which, okay, there's two ways of looking at it. The harvest begins on a certain date, more or less, and it may last for a more or less fixed time, but it may not. The other way of looking at it, which the Rosh argues against Rabbi Elazar and Metz, is, I mean, after all, the harvest itself may vary in length. Some years you have better years, some years you have worse years, some years the harvest takes longer, some years it takes shorter. How can you say that? It's considered Zmane Kavua.
Unless you have a
range. Yeah, but okay, so that's the argument against it.
Okay. 6 or 7 days.
But still, it's a range, it's not a fixed number.
Right.
The Ran brings a third possibility. What if it's the other way around? What if you have something where the length of it is known, but the length of it is known, but the starting time of it is not? The example is, what if a person says that this neder is in effect until the wedding sudah for my son, until the mishteh for my son. Now, we know the mishteh is going to last a certain amount of time, so if we're talking a wedding, then it's a one-day thing, we're talking Sheva Berachos, it's 7 days, whatever. But the wedding is not necessarily zmane kavua, because the wedding can always be pushed off. And the Braisa leaves, and not the Braisa, the Yerushalmi leaves it unresolved, and therefore the Ram says, you go l'chomra, as usual. Okay, Mishnah continues. Ada kayitz. What if somebody says the neder is in effect until the kayitz? Now, kayitz in modern Hebrew, kayitz means the summer. But what we really mean, what the Mishnah actually means over here, is the harvest of it means the fig harvest. It means the fig harvest. The reason why it means, well, figs are harvested during the summer. That's how the word kayitz comes to mean in the summer. But the reason why it means the fig harvest is because the word kayitz comes from the word koitzitzin, which means cutting off. Which means, how do you pick figs? You pick them by hand. You cut them off the tree. You pull them off the tree by hand. That's called koitzitzin.
And the wheat?
Wheat, you don't. Wheat, you harvest with a sickle. You cut it. That's called koitzitzin. It seems from what we're saying over here that koitzitz, that you pull them off by hand. Yeah. Kotzman would be with an instrument. But also we're going to talk about soon. We're going to talk about those Boitzrim, for example. Wait. So Adakayetz would mean Ad Shehei Hakayetz. It means until if he says Adakayetz or Ad Shehei Hakayetz. So again, the Kayetz, the fig harvest is not something that has a fixed time or a fixed range. Therefore, Ad Sheyeschilu Amlachnis V'Hachnis V'Kal Kolos. We say that when is the neder in effect? Only until when people actually start harvesting the figs in quantity and putting them in baskets. So not, for example, one individual person goes and starts picking his figs. You don't say that the neder is over then. No, when the major part. Now, one thing is, the reason why we're mentioning this is everybody would agree, even Rebbe Lezman admits, would have to agree that the case of the fig harvest we would not say is manei tovua. And the reason is, figs don't all ripen at the same time. Different figs, even on the same tree, ripen and are picked at different times. This is not kavua, exactly. There's the famous thing, for example, by the way, that the Gemara mentions why learning Torah is compared to a fig tree. Notes the Te'enu Yerecha Piria. Because just like a fig tree, every time you come to it, you find new figs that are ripe, and you can pick them the same way every time you learn Torah, you discover something new. So the fig harvest, more than any other kind of harvest, is something that's not Zmanei Kavua. Therefore, when we say, when is it considered to actually be in effect? When people are picking enough to put them in baskets.
Which one is Kavua?
That's what, according to Rabbi Lazim admits, the regular kotzer and the regular butzer and the regular musik are considered kavua because they have a fairly fixed interval. They take a fairly fixed amount of time.
Let me ask you a question. Are we using two different criteria? For the fig, it's because they ripen at different times, but the wheat and the barley, they ripen at
the same time. And you have a more or less fixed amount of time. That's exactly. What about if somebody says until the kayetz is over? So when is that considered? It means until they fold up the maktsuos. Now maktsuos are the knives that they use for cutting. Sorry, when I said before that kayetz means picking the figs, I said it wrongly. Actually, it's not that when you say you pick them by hand, what we mean is you take a knife and cut them off by hand.
That's crazy.
That's what we're saying, Kotzin, yeah.
Yeah, but the
Kotzin
means by hand.
I got myself a little mixed up over here. No, as far as taking them off the tree, yes, you take them off by hand. Afterwards, you use knives. We learned throughout Shas that they used to very commonly take figs and cut them up and dry them and make them into these gigantic cakes of pressed figs. With knives, obviously, they cut them with knives, and then they press them together into these big cakes of pressed figs that they use as a concentrated food source, basically. So kotzin is the original harvesting of them, which is picking them by hand. But the maktsuos are the knives that you use afterwards to cut them to make them into these cakes. So at the end of the season, these knives were made kind of like switchblades. So they had a folding blade that would fold up into the handle. At the end of the season, people would fold them up so that the blade didn't get dull over the winter, and that's considered when they fold up these knives. That's when the kayet season, the fig gathering and processing season is over. There's a different explanation also that I think the Rambam says this, that the machzoris over here are not the knives but the mats. They would take these figs and dry them out on mats. So when you roll up those mats, it means it's the end of the season. Okay. The Gemara starts off. Tana. We have a couple more minutes. Don't matter. Tana. We learn a brayso. Kalkala sha'amru. The basket that we're talking about. Kalkala sha'etshotainim. V'loy kalkala sha'lanavim. It means basket of figs, rather than not a basket of olives. Not grapes. Grapes are harvested later than figs. Don't think the neder is in effect until people start filling up grape baskets, which is later in the season. No, it's figs, which are earlier in the season. And the reason is because, based on what we just said, that kitsa means pulling them off by hand. Figs are pulled off the tree by hand. Grapes are not. You cut them with a knife. Therefore, that's called a different thing. That's called chaticha. Yeah. Tanya, we learned it a bit, just similarly. Hanodim eperis hakayit. Somebody makes a neder not to eat the fruit of kayit. And also, elevatainim, and he's only also in figs. Same reason, because only figs are picked by hand. Reb Shimon Gamliel, or Anovim, Bechalatainim, whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel says grapes are included as well. My time at the Tanakama, what's the Tanakama's logic? Kasavatainim mixed to Sundiyada, because he figures figs are picked off the tree by hand. That's called Ktitza. Another Moshe to the other. Grapes are not picked by hand. They're cut and it's called chaticha.
So what's the difference?
That's the difference. One is cut, one is picked by hand, and one is cut. With,
but it's all the same time.
But no, actually, grapes are later.
Grapes are later.
But here we're talking about, if a person says, grapes are harvested later than figs.
But
they're the latest. Latest necessarily, but yeah. But so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was saying that if a person makes a nether not to eat peiros hakayis, then it means also grapes. So why? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, "Anovim nami kimiradadon." Rabbi Shimon Gamliel figures grapes also, when the stems dry up and then the then also you pull off the grapes by hand. When do you cut them with a knife? When the stems are still moist and it's hard to pick them off by hand, that's when you use a knife and cut off the whole collection. Earlier in the summer, in other words. But later, by the end of the summer, the stems are dried up, then already you can just pick them off by hand, and therefore they can still be considered tayets as well. That's the machlokes. Yeah.
Every field, some fields grow the fruit in the valley, one higher. So many times, most of the time, they don't come out at the same time.
Lakhura, then we're talking about it would go.
How is it possible to say this time, this field is 2 miles away?
The pastures would go according to what's in the immediate area. Within an immediate area where everything is all valleys or all hills or whatever, everybody's going to be harvesting or whatever more or less at the same time. Okay.